The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It has been one of those days when you do your very, very best, and you know the story. Doesn't matter how hard you try or what you do, it's in the cards. It's not going to work out the way you want it to. Kind of the story for the planet when you think about it. The guest we have on the first hour is Clark McClelland. Clark is having phone trouble again, and it happened last time. We don't know what is exactly the problem with his phone line, but we are, Todd is making heroic efforts to get him to phone us now on our 800 number. Because when we call him, it goes right to voicemail. It doesn't ring, he says. And his cell phone number doesn't have enough minutes on it, so it's one of those things. Clark is in very poor health, as you know, and also, he is a repository of extraordinary knowledge and knew all the big players in the Apollo program, the space program, and has written a book, 22 chapters of which are on his website. And he's been trying to survive because what the government did when he went public, they took away his pension, they took away everything. They literally left the man to die. And he has on one of his legs MRSA. He has massive wounds. They will not heal. It's also being fed by extremely poor circulation, this condition he has. He is diabetic, or at least pre-diabetic, but he is a very brave man, and he has been on this program many times over close to 20 years, I think. And I think he might be online right now. Clark, are you there?
I'm online with you, Jeff.
All right. Well, I'm glad you finally made it.
They blocked my phone here.
Mm-hmm. You called in on our 800 number?
That's right.
Okay. Well, we did our best. You did your best, and we beat them.
Okay. I hope we did, because this is the evil on the planet Earth. It needs to be wiped out.
Some say that the entire DNA of this evil needs to be wiped out.
Oh, yeah. The DNA... it needs to be wiped out. Hitler tried it, even though he may have not known what he was doing. But
we got to be realistic about it. He didn't want to kill them all. He wanted them ejected from Europe.
There were two
deals made to get them out of Europe. He didn't have
mass
extermination. We're not in the plan, so anyway.
And they were in Spain, and the same thing happened to this evil in Spain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they survived in the Byzantine Empire for about 1,200 years. And the way the Byzantine Empire handled the so-called age-old Jewish problem of greed and control, I'm speaking in general historical terms here, is that they kept the Jewish members of the Byzantine Empire from being involved in education, politics, banking.
That's right.
They left them to the merchant class, and they didn't have any trouble.
Well, we've had trouble here now, because I'm going to be honestly frank. For anybody that's listening, I don't mean to scare you. I hope this will wake you up. The United States of America does not exist any longer. The New World Order, which is the world banking system controlled totally by Zionist Jews, is what destroyed the USA. New World Order now owns the United States.
It certainly does. And who is the New World Order, Clark?
It's the Zionist Jews in their banking system and the Wall Street CEOs. They're all Jews. Now, here's something from Harry Reid. Are you aware that he owns 93 acres next to the Bundy Ranch?
Of course. I ran the story. Just a laugher. Yeah, he was busted. We found out. The guy is the epitome of corruption, graft, and criminality. Period.
That's right. And he's a Mormon.
Yeah, well, some of the most dangerous people I've ever met call themselves Christians.
Yeah, right.
I see that little fish symbol on the back of a car, and I want to run.
That's right.
So, and then there's the other joke about the most dangerous man on the planet is a Greek in tennis shoes.
So, that's right.
You know, and then you've got the Armenians, who are very, very clever and shrewd businessmen and women, too.
That's right.
So, you know, it's all part of the game. Who is the most ruthless, heartless of all? No question. It is the so-called Zionist Jews. It's the tribe.
It's the tribe of greed on earth. That's right. Every nation they enter, when they take over the banks, they destroy the industry they did in the USA, and they sent it to China and various other places. They're favoring China right now, because they know that China has the strongest army on the planet Earth.
Correct.
Yes,
correct. They're crawling all over China trying to get footholds there. They've penetrated India very well, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're a cancer on Earth, Jeff. You know that. I know that. Now, anyway, he wanted to build, Harry Reid wants to build a large solar farm on that 93 acres, and he wanted to be able to spread it over on the Bundy Ranch area. Then he made a deal, Harry Reid, with China to build the large solar farm. China, that's high treason. He's committed high treason.
There is no such thing anymore.
No. And our nation's solar farm builders, which I took part in Belize, South America, well, Central America, they're all out of business too because of the treason of Harry Reid, Pelosi, and the rest of the people in Washington D.C. In most cases, a large portion of them.
Couldn't agree more, Clark.
I love this country. We have had a secret astronaut corps, Jeff. We've had that for a long, long time, like many, many years. That astronaut corps that was secret, still is to a degree, have been to Mars. They have built a base there and were on the moon before Neil Armstrong in 1969.
Oh, way before. Now, we also know that the early pictures of the moon landings were filmed by Stanley Kubrick. That's the best guess. We could guarantee success. There was too much riding on this. We couldn't take the chance that it wouldn't work, okay?
Yeah.
So they played the crummy third-generation stuff, and the people at NASA HQ, you were there, I guess, were very disappointed in the quality of the footage, but that was done intentionally.
Yeah.
So to cover up. But we know now a lot, and there are lots of problems with the moon missions. I do believe we went there on some of the occasions. I do also believe that many of the photographs and the video portions were created down here to, again, assure and guarantee, quote, success in the mission.
Well, that may be true, but...
I don't know. You know better than I, my friend.
I was involved in all those landings. We had 7 launched to the moon. Apollo 13 was our greatest success because we saved 3 astronauts that had an explosion in their command service module, their service module, and it was sabotage, but they will never tell you that. And they won't tell you that the Space Shuttle Challenger and the Space Shuttle Columbia were also both sabotaged. And I was told if we would have released that, we would have had Third World War. Now our 12 astronauts' lives worth $7 billion, or close to that at that time. Of course, the number's yes. So we didn't have a Third World War. Not yet, but it's coming close.
Yeah, it's coming. We're going to go through the break, Todd. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry we lost time.
No, I want to make up for it. It's okay. You have now 22 chapters finished. And
I have 20 that are up and running.
Uh-huh.
The 21st one I've held back on, Jeff, because the 21st one I've disclosed astronauts that are still alive, and the fact that they were able to see the 8 to 9 foot tall aliens like I had seen, and another friend of mine had seen in the crew compartment.
Well, question. Okay, now we've covered this before several times,
uh-huh.
And if you go to Clark's website, you can see. Give them your website's name, Clark.
It's Stargate Chronicles. Stargate-Chronicles.
.com. Okay. Just remember the hyphen, not an underscore.
Yeah.
Stargate-Chronicles.com. Now, the astronauts involved with meeting the very tall ETs out there are still alive.
They're still alive.
Do you know them? I know who they are. Yes. Do you think they will take this with them to the grave, or do you think that as their years approach and begin to run down toward the end of their lives, that they'll tell the story?
Well, there's one that I know will not have that happen.
What do you mean, will not have that happen?
Well, he will not allow himself not to disclose what he knows, and that's
okay.
Buzz Aldrin.
All right.
Buzz Aldrin, I doubt seriously we'll ever go to the grave without disclosing what happened there. He knows what he saw. Neil Armstrong knows what he saw. Michael Collins, who was in orbit, I helped design the Apollo 11 mission emblem with the landing of the Eagle on the moon with Mike Collins. He's alive, and he hasn't said very much. So whether or not he'll state anything or not, because he did see alien craft below his command service module that was awaiting the lunar module to rise up and go back and mate with him and then come back to Earth. I'm not sure what to say about Michael, but I do know Buzz Aldrin will not miss the chance to tell all the people listening right now that, yes, they saw ETs on the moon. There is no doubt about that, because I was in the control area hearing the commentary that was blocked out for you not to hear. I did hear it. That's the thing. With my being in the Office of Naval Intelligence at the time,
oh, yeah.
I still am, by the way, they kept it out of the hands of the people, newspapers, TV, and all. Of course, that's all controlled by Zionists, too.
The astronauts themselves, you were there. All the missions made it to their intended target. They did at least orbit the moon. 13 obviously was a disaster, that was a magnificent effort to save it. But we did go to the moon. You're convinced. What do you think of these, Clark? What do you think of the documentaries that do show a lot of apparent anomalies, like simply slowing the footage down? You have people walking normally. Triple speed it, and it looks like they're in a big sound stage.
Like you're bouncing around there. Yeah.
Does that make sense to you that Kubrick could have staged much of the moon footage for domestic consumption? This is showbiz, let's face it.
That's right, and Kubrick was show business. I can't say if I knew Kubrick did it or not, but I have suspected some of that myself. But I didn't disclose anything beyond the knowledge I have about the wonderful crew and the crew members that went there that were all friends of mine. And Neil Armstrong, he came back. He wouldn't say a word about it, but he slipped once or twice. And then he had a second heart attack. They took him to the Cincinnati hospital. I was up in that area of Cincinnati when they took him there. I went over to see if I could see him. They said, no, he's in serious condition. What happened there was Neil Armstrong was on the death panel. He was on the list of the names of the death panel. So Neil, in my opinion, was allowed to die at the Cincinnati Hospital. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I have some other some other wordage that I've heard that I was reported to me, but that's exactly what happened to Neil.
Now, Clark McClelland is a brilliant scientist who played a key role in our program. I did mention to you what the government, this government, this alleged government, did to Clark. They just destroyed his life and his security, his retirement. They took it all away. But what I want to ask you, Clark, is just as a general overview. You had access to the real data coming back from the moon.
Exactly.
Now, E.T. Was and very likely is up there. Big ships, craft are up there.
Uh-huh.
Which of the astronauts saw the machines, the large spacecraft up there?
Well, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Mike Collins in orbit of the moon when he was seeing objects flying below him.
Uh-huh.
And then the final missions. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to take a deep breath there because a horrible pain was coming on me, and it stopped. So thank goodness it did.
All right.
Anyway,
let me tell our audience, Clark, that if Clark does scream out in pain, it's not an act. It is a miracle. He is alive. I have never met anyone with more courage than Clark McClelland to be able to do what he does and hang in there. They want to amputate his leg, which quite frankly would be the best thing to do. He does not want to do that. That is his choice. So he is fighting it, and he is heavily bandaged. He is certainly taking a lot of things that I and others have suggested. He's on pain medication, which at this point really does very little good.
It doesn't
and
work.
Understand, Clark. Yeah.
On that left leg, Jeff, from the ankle up on the inside of the leg, I have an open wound there that's 8 inches long by 5 inches wide. On the left side of that left foot, on the opposite side of that big wound, is another 8-inch high by 5-inch wide wound there. So I have two huge open wounds, and on the ankles, toes, and everywhere. So when they kick in, Jeff,
I know. We know each other very, very well, and I understand that, and it's okay. So don't worry about
and
it.
And if the audience would like to look at my website, read some of the chapters, which would help me. That's the only thing I have to rely on, other than a small Social Security every month.
Yeah.
What I'm doing with that partially is taking care of my daughter and three grandchildren, because her husband with a master's degree can't find a job. She has a BS degree, and my son, her brother, has two BS degrees from USF, University of Central Florida, and none of them can find work anywhere. So I try to help them with this small little check of $1,250 a month. And now they raise the rent in my mobile home park $30 a month, because this mobile home park is owned by Jews.
When did they raise the rent?
About 3 months ago.
All right. Well, I'm going to step up and send you $30 a month to make sure that that difference
is...
No. I want to help.
I know, but I'm an extremely proud man, Jeff.
I
don't want to take anything from
you. Hey, Clark, wait a minute. What are friends for? Okay.
I know.
Right. Well,
that would help me get some food. This pain is starting possibly to hit me. It's starting a bit now.
All right. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. Deep breaths. That's it. Try and breathe.
It
out. Okay. Breathe in try and breathe the pain out.
It went away.
Okay.
It went away again now. I took ibuprofen before we got on the air, and it's kicking in and helping me. I just like the audience to please look at my website. I have 20 chapters that can be read there, and they're very cheap. They don't cost a lot, but they are astounding information.
Well, this is the ultimate book on the American space program. Period.
That's right. It's the ultimate. That's right. And I have a moon gold photo with a small piece of 24 karat gold that's attached to the moon gold photo of James Irwin, Apollo 15 lunar module pilot that brought me back several sheets of that. So I have that. I have several sheets left here. And I do charge for that. I honestly wish I didn't have to, but I need to have some help. I do need help. And they're beautiful, wonderful frames with the picture.
Well, I'm very much grateful for mine, and I'll always have it. You can go to Stargate-Chronicles.com and get yourself a piece of the gold foil that went to the moon and back on a beautiful picture and a beautiful frame from Clark. Help him out a little bit. What was done to Clark McClellan should not be done to anyone.
No, it was a criminal act.
Yeah, it was.
Because I'm a very proud person. My family came here at first with the first mate of the Mayflyer, John Clark. He was the first mate. And after they dropped the pilgrims off and he left, he came back shortly and he established a life here in Plymouth Rock area.
All right, very good. You are truly an American. Hold on, Clark. We'll come right back in just a couple minutes.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, be right back. Okay, talking to Clark McClellan. Clark, what other things are going on the moon that we know about that you can tell us about? We've got ET up there, probably more than one variety of ET. There's mining going on up there. There obviously has been activity on the moon for maybe tens of thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. We don't know. Yeah.
Well, there's that H3, helium-3, very important up there.
Uh-huh.
We landed our 6 of 7 Apollos in H3 areas. And now, with each of the Apollos that are claimed to be there, they have been, it was released to all nations on Earth, China, India, Russia, never ever land and go to our sites where the 6 Apollos landed. It's full of H3, helium-3, very, very important for fuel, for advanced rockets.
What state is it in, Clark?
It's in a powdery form where they land. And it can be picked up by your hand when you're there if you want, in the powdery form.
Uh-huh.
It's H3, helium-3.
Got
very,
it.
Very, very important. And so that's why we've placed a no landing by our 6 sites up there. Those who want to maybe believe that we didn't land there, well, I've seen Hubble photographs of each of the landing sites, and I've seen the lunar module, Apollo 11, Apollo 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. They're all there. I've seen them on a Hubble photograph of those sites.
Why was there no crater under the lunar lander? No dust crater?
Well, it did blow dust, of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was there just like a half an inch of dust and then rock? Is that the deal?
Well, Neil, and I think Buzz asked me, Clark, you were from astronomy, what are we going to walk on there? And I said, Buzz, I honestly believe when your foot sinks into it, it won't sink very far.
Uh-huh.
I said, don't worry about tripping because I don't believe it's so thick that it's hiding places that could trip you up. And that's what exactly they found when they were there. Neil told me that personally himself. I really miss Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of my friends dead now. The only original 7 astronauts, John Glenn's the only one alive with them now.
Will John talk?
I'm not sure because he lives in Ohio. I visited his home there a year and a half ago, and I don't think he would have too much to say because he's 92 years old now. His wife is older than him. They're both alive in their 90s, and so they're living and they have a nice life. And I would say he doesn't want to destroy any possibilities
right.
of his life. I can't blame him.
Right.
Look what happened to me.
Yeah. Well, you were the one who was sacrificed in a way to keep them in line.
I was a scapegoat.
Yeah. Now tell us about Clark's book. Is a marvel. It is absolutely fascinating. What a journey. So it's on his website, stargate-chronicles.com. He sells it by the chapter. They're very inexpensive. Help him out. Go there. There are samples and things. But this is the true story from inside the American manned space program. Why was the Saturn rocket literally scrapped, and why were the blueprints, according to several people, destroyed, or at least put away where no one could get to them?
They didn't destroy them, Jeff. They have them kept in a secret vault, along with other things that are secret, like what happened to the two Challengers, the two Columbia and Challenger shuttles.
Yeah.
They were both destroyed by sabotage. I know because in the 1960s, this nation's stupidity and politics allowed KGB agents to be hired and work at Cape Canaveral.
Uh-huh.
And they were killing ONI agents out there by what's so-called accidents. I had to kill one of them myself. I didn't want to do that. But I dropped a very heavy wrench through his plastic helmet about two stories below me. It hit it on the center part of that plastic helmet. It went right through his skull and crushed him.
Were you told to do this?
ONI was the boss at the time.
All right, so yeah. this was a spy.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. They were spying on us. Mm-hmm. We had our agents spying on them too.
Oh, of course, of course. I'll never forget the former director of the Fort Detrick Bioweapons Lab, and you can find this quote online. He said he quit, and he said, I got so sick and tired of going into work every day, and on any given day there would be more Chinese communists and Russians in there than there would be Americans in our secret laboratories.
We have been invaded, and the nation that has allowed that is the New World Order, World Bank, Zionist Jews that have their CEOs on Wall Street. That's what destroyed our country, and our nation didn't wake up to it, and they haven't yet. And they're probably listening to me and saying, this guy's a nutball. Mm-hmm. I'm not a nutball, ladies and gentlemen. They destroyed my life. Right now I'm dying with what I have on this left leg. And no doctor can give me anything that can help me. At least that's what they say.
Right.
They're waiting for me to scream, take the leg off. When that happens, Jeff, and then those listening, if that happens, I'm on the death panel. I'm at the top of that death panel, no matter what hospital I go to. I will not come out of that hospital alive. They will secretly murder me. And that's what the secret death panels are.
Very easy to do in a hospital. Jim Keith found that out. A lot of great people have gone into hospitals and not come out. Now, go ahead. No, please hold. We have to take a break. We'll come back.
Okay.
And I need to get you on the program again
in
a couple of weeks just to talk to you about this, to memorialize it.
Yeah.
I don't trust anything about this government anymore. And
well,
I
you're
make
the
sure
only
we
one that allows me to come on now. The other ones have finally been warned off, and I don't get radio shows any longer. And I did depend on them. So please, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a lot of pain right now. If you would, please, buy a moon gold photo. Please, that gold from the moon is very, very rare. It's very rare and very, very important. And when I run out of it, nobody will have it anymore.
Okay, stand by, Clark. We'll come right back. Clark McClelland is on with us this hour. Clark's been a friend of mine. Clark, we got to go back almost 20 years when you were first
at
on
least,
the program.
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember in the very beginning telling you, you had to do a book. I'm not claiming any credit here, but you had all of these, you had all this information. And you wanted to do a book, and I remember encouraging the dickens out of you to do something, and I'm so glad and grateful you did, because it's an enormously important story. It is the true story of the American manned space program. I said that before, I say it again. Tell us about some of the Germans that you knew, and these people are not household names, some of them, but they were the geniuses, the giants of our space program. They literally made it happen.
That's right. The Germans came over here in 1946 and 47, and they actually then started to establish the future of our finally landing men on the moon in 1969. But they originated many hundreds of thousands of years ago from a planet that's circling a large orange star called Aldebaran. And it is in the Hyades. If there are astronomers listening, they'll know exactly what I mean. Aldebaran is a huge orange star. It has two planets, possibly more, circling it. Now, the Aryan race, which is the Germans and the Austrians on Earth, that's exactly where the Aryan race came from. Hitler was talking about having aliens from space helping them during their war efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the scientists that I knew there, Dr. Debus, Dr. Canotti, Dr. von Braun, lots of other names I'm forgetting now, but I've known them all. They all told me the same story, Jeff, so they're not all lying to me in one verse. No, they weren't. They respected me because I showed intelligence.
Right.
And I'm Scot-Irish and Austrian, so they recognized I had some German blood flowing in me, too.
Well, I'm Irish and Austrian, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But they are an intelligent race on Earth, and they are actually what did build and send our Apollos to the moon to land there 6 out of 7 times. And that's who actually was the intelligence behind our Apollo program. I have chapter 21 already written. I've held off from it because I have 20 chapters up already.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have chapter 22 that I'm going to have my webmaster put up that shows the alien blood factor on Earth. And it's a heck of a chapter. I didn't write most of it because two sisters did. So I give them all the credit. So chapter 22 will be that. Chapter 20 is the White Sands Proving Ground, where I had a friend that worked there in the years during Roswell. And he told me all about how Dr. von Braun, who was nearby, and his staff of scientists were called in because they were told there had been a crash of an object kind of north and northwest of Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
So he overheard because it was fortunate he was repairing some wiring and was behind a wall when these secret Germans were discussing what was found there, and that was the object that was called the Roswell craft that crashed there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were speaking about the ETs that were recovered from it, and that Roswell,
Go ahead.
Anyway, the German scientists that were taken out of the area by an Army vehicle, a Ford, an Army vehicle, were taken to the crash site, and then there they studied the one body that was in a tent on a Guernsey there, and they, I have a photo on my website that shows what they were able to see there. So if you want to read that chapter, it's on my website, and it's a wonderful chapter. It tells everything that I was told by the German scientists and what I was able to learn on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen aliens in the space shuttle payload bay that were 8 to 9 feet tall, and in the rear of the space shuttle engine pods was a large alien ship. So the large alien that was in the payload bay talking to two NASA astronauts and actually sending hand motions towards the left and right where the astronauts were. He was actually either dictating to or teaching them something. He, she, I don't even know what it was, but it was a huge, huge humanoid.
Of course, it was in a suit and it had a helmet. So whatever it was an air breather or some kind of a gas breather.
Yeah. And then my friend in New Mexico, who was five stories underground, he called me one day, 6 weeks or so later. He said, "Clark, I'm going to verify what you saw, because I saw the same type of alien creature in another space shuttle mission, but it was in the crew compartment, Clark." He said, "You know as well as I do, the space shuttles were not designed for 8 to 9 foot people. They were designed up to 6 foot. And we did. We had 6 foot astronauts. But he saw two NASA astronauts standing beside this large alien creature. And it was bowing down its head so its helmet wouldn't hit the ceiling."
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen them. Friends of mine have seen them. They do exist, ladies and gentlemen. And if they're evil, they would have shown that by now. I don't believe they're evil that way.
Well, some races may be unfriendly to us. Others maybe.
Yeah.
Some are neutral. So far, the planet hasn't been torched, so I guess they're still giving us time. We are not doing well. In fact, we're only doing worse. It's only a matter of time before one or the other of them has to move in here and cleanse the planet of this this really vile species we have become. And not you individually, but in the aggregate. We have allowed this to happen to our planet.
That's right. And I know the race that caused this to the Challenger and the Columbia space shuttle. They were both sabotaged, and they would not report it as sabotage, because we would have had World War III. And I was warned against talking about that at the time when it happened. And now it did happen, and I have chapters on my website that discuss the Columbia and Challenger disasters.
So it wasn't the O-rings?
No. No, there was a shape charge behind the solid rocket booster that was shaped, that was set, designed to set it to go off
at altitude.
Mm-hmm. and then tip the nose cone of the solid booster into the liquid fuel large tank and cause it to explode. And that's exactly what happened with the Challenger. And then the other one had a Jewish pilot on board, the Columbia, and when it was coming into land, that one was hit by an object that was launched from a space station above where it was flying, and I could see it, and now that disappeared. I could see it sweep down and go in and hit the Columbia.
Was it an energy weapon or a hard particle of some kind?
Well, something that hit the Columbia and caused damage enough that eventually then it just blew apart, and the six American astronauts there, I think there was at least five or four American astronauts, and the one other was a Zionist pilot that was.
Well, they sacrificed their own. They have no problem with that.
Yeah, right. So that's who he was, and he died with the other six. Of course, Judy Resnick, my friend, died in the Challenger, and I'll never forget that. Never, ever.
She was quite a neat lady, wasn't she?
She was a wonderful lady. very highly intelligent, and she was a PhD. She was a concert pianist also. So she was a very excellent, intelligent woman. Now, that don't mean she didn't get mad and get angry at this or that. I heard her say a couple of words at one time that shocked the hell out of me. I said, Judy, she said, yeah, Clark, I know Navy language.
That's funny. That's very funny. What is it that we only have a minute left this visit, but what should we learn from the manned space program? What's the message here, Clark?
The message is that the human race does have great intelligence when it can be kept from having warfare, but it can't be kept from having warfare because right now Russia controls us because they're now threatening to keep our astronauts from the space station that we built, your tax money built. So if the Russians cut off space flight with our astronauts to the International Space Station, that's going to cause a lot of hell to break loose. And that's what they do. So we have no space station. We have no space program anymore because NASA doesn't exist.
It doesn't. No. Well, my dad, I mentioned this to you, was public relations director of McDonnell Douglas Missiles and Space, and used to, I think you may have met him at one time, I don't know, but he was at the Cape for most launches.
And I think at Vandenberg. I did
meet him. Yeah.
And what was his first name?
Arthur Rents.
Arthur Rents.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain I remember that.
Yeah. He had meetings with von Braun and others, and just spoke so highly of them. So you were there, he was there, and that's a little link we have between us too. So
I've got an operation on my left leg tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the morning, about 50 miles from where I live.
Well, we'll be holding good thoughts for you, my friend.
I hope so, because we live within the huge universal God, and that is the universe. The universe is our God. We live within the body of the universal God. That sums it right up.
Yeah,
that's right.
I concur. This sectioning it out and parsing it into clubs and various so-called spiritual leaders, and it's all BS. It's all
that's
misdirection.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
His control mechanisms, all of it. Clark, I want you to come back in a couple of weeks. We'll stay in touch. Maybe in another 2 weeks we'll have you back.
Okay. Stay in touch with me that way,
okay.
Jeff. You've been a big help to me many, many times. You're a great patriot for this nation, Jeff.
Thank you.
You are one heck of a great patriot. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And if you would, buy a Moon Gold photo, please. It's a wonderful 6x4-inch photo with a piece of 24-karat gold on the photo in front of it with James Irwin saluting the U.S. flag.
Yeah, wonderful gift.
I mail it out to you, and it's always mailed out, and it's safely received. Thank you all for listening to me, and thank you, Jeff, my good friend, for having me on.
Always.
Okay, contact me when you want me on again. Okay,
we'll talk soon, Clark. You be well.
All right. You take care.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, Clark McClelland, and we'll be back.